2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Religion Today. I'm your host, Martin Tanner. This Religion Today broadcast is on July 4th, Independence Day, 2021. My message is about the positive facts and information, often not mentioned, sometimes even deliberately overlooked, about the United States, its founding documents, the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution, and the reason that socialism is a bad idea, which shouldn't be embraced here in the United States, because it cannot ever work for long. First, let's talk about socialism. Today, most children in public schools are taught in the U.S. that the U.S. is bad, evil, and racist, and socialism is good. They are taught things like the absurd 1619 Project and similar ideas. For any of you who are confronted by your children with some of these ideas, consider some easy to understand responses you might try. If the United States is so horrible and racist, why do so many people from so many other countries try legally and illegally to get into the U.S.? This year alone, for example, we have 180,000 people a month sneaking across the southern border illegally to get into the United States. Why would they do this if the United States is so evil, racist, and horrible, as Black Lives Matter and Antifa claim? I don't understand that. This is a huge number. 180,000 a month will, in 1 year, amount to two-thirds of the entire population of the state of Utah. In other words, to put it in perspective for those familiar with Utah, as many people as from North Ogden to south of Provo will sneak into the United States illegally this year. That is an incredible number. That's well over 2 million people. That's a lot. Ask your kids why people would sneak into such a horrible country. They wouldn't. Next, ask why your children might think that socialism is so great. They'll probably say something like free school, free health care, and to stop the planet from being polluted. But free really isn't free. Maybe you could use an example for this. Ask them if they want to earn $100 for doing some job around the house or the yard. If they say yes and then finish the job, give them a $20 bill and then say that you can only spend the $20 in ways that you, their parent, decide. Explain that's how socialism works. Government takes most of what you earn in taxes, spends that money the way it wants to, and then tells you how you can spend the rest. Socialism won't look quite so nice then. That's really the way it works. You can explain this as an example of the flaw in socialism that can never be fixed. It can be explained like this. If you remain free, you can choose your own actions. You can keep what you earn. You can make your own choices. You have no socialism then, because you, not the government, decides things. If, on the other hand, you have socialism, that means the government makes choices for you, takes most of your money, and tells you most of what you can and can't do. Freedom is certainly limited with socialism. This is the crux of why socialism is dangerous and evil and anti-Christian and anti-God. It takes away from personal freedom. That's why religious people founded the United States. The actual result of socialism is always that things get worse. Take a look at Venezuela, Cuba, everywhere it's been tried, because personal freedom is lost and people have no incentive to work hard when most of what they earn is taken away. Now let's take a look at the Constitution in contrast. A little background about freedom, the divine concept behind the United States Constitution. Some people think this is the first country that's ever tried freedom. It's not quite true. But it is true that in most of the ancient world, whether you look at ancient Egypt, Babylon, Persia, China, and other ancient countries, Mesopotamia, wherever, governments ruled by harsh military and political power. That's the way it was. And in the entire breadth and scope of the world until the last few hundred years, slavery, for example, was acceptable everywhere. Now, there are a few exceptions to that. Greece tried democracy, actually republican form of government, where it was representative government. Didn't work too well or too long because laws weren't fixed. Underlying laws did not stay in place, and they were removed and destroyed. Rome, very soon thereafter, also tried a similar kind of idea and had some of these ideas about freedom and the people being in charge of the government rather than vice versa. Rome later sent a delegation to Greece in about 454 BC to study the laws of Greece to decide how to form a really good citizen-based government. In other words, one where the citizens were ultimately in charge. In that same year, they created the 12 tables of Roman law, which later became the written constitution for the Roman Republic. The republic that Rome founded lasted for over 400 years. Then finally, the people chose bad leaders and tyranny, and finally, things fell apart in Rome. The founding fathers looked at many of these ideas. They didn't come up with them in a vacuum. They look, for example, at the idea expressed by Cicero that the natural law was that God gave all people freedom, and it was only by them delegating this freedom or the ability to take it away for some good and noble purpose by way of protection or some other kind of fundamental right that it was to be delegated to governments. The founders won all of this amazing knowledge by hard work, by study, by brilliance. And it is for that reason that we find in Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 80, this idea, quote, "For this purpose have I, the Lord, established the Constitution by the hands of wise men, whom I raised up unto this very purpose," close quote. The idea of a democratic republic is not a new creation. That's what the United States has. It was, as I've just mentioned, found even in ancient Rome, and in ancient Greece, and in some places even in Europe. Those who were founding this country, the United States, did things with freedom based on practical experience, inspiration, and the pitfalls that they saw in ancient history. When we come back, more about what the Founding Fathers learned, what Joseph Smith said about freedom and the Constitution. Stay tuned. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today on Independence Day.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We're back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. It is Independence Day, July 4th, 2021. We're talking about some of the precepts upon which this country was founded. How to respond to those who have been taught in the public school system and elsewhere that this is a horrible place and that socialism might be a better system. We've just learned that in the Doctrine and Covenants, section 101, verse 80, that the Lord said that the Constitution was divinely inspired by men who God raised up for the very purpose of creating the Constitution. That does not sound like a horrible document and a bunch of evil men to me. Here's another statement. This one was to be found, if you want to look, in section 98, starting in verse 5 of the Doctrine and Covenants. Quote, I, the Lord, justify you and your brethren of my church in befriending that law which is the constitutional law of the land, and as pertaining to law of man, whichever is more or less than this, meaning the constitutional law, cometh of evil. Why more or less? Because if you don't even have the basic safeguards of the Constitution, you have anarchy. If you have much more, then you are starting to lose freedoms. The Lord has given us a great gift, which many people sadly don't understand. We need to look at the founding principles of this country, which were inspired by God. I'd like to talk about some of these inspired principles. We often hear that somehow the founders were not good people. The Declaration of Independence says this, all people are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, and to secure those rights, governments are instituted among men. This is from the Declaration of Independence. Does that sound bad? It sounds very, very good to me. They believed, the founders did, in a supreme creator in God, and that rights and powers of the government were derived from the citizenry, and that people were entitled to have free speech, free association. Another important precept is that the Constitution limits government, not the people. It's the government's power that are supposed to be restrained, the government's powers. The things that people do are supposed to be fairly open. We're supposed to operate based on common sense. In the very first sentence of the Constitution, it says, quote, all legislative powers herein granted shall be vested in a Congress, which shall consist of a Senate and House of Representatives. Now, this is really important. Here's another one. This is from James Madison, Federalist Papers, number 45. Quote, the powers delegated by the proposed Constitution to the federal government are few and defined, close quote. In other words, the government has few powers. The people have most of the powers. Here's another example. Ninth Amendment, quote, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. In other words, just because something isn't specifically stated in the Constitution for the people doesn't mean it doesn't exist for them. Another important power from the Constitution is in the 10th Amendment to it. Quote, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, this means the federal government, nor prohibited by it to the states are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. These are very, very important. The federal government is to be limited. the people in the states are to have most of the power. We're not a democracy. We shouldn't want a democracy. Democracy is just majority rule. If you get 51% of the people who want something, even if it's bad, they get it. That's not a great idea. Democracies have a horrible history. James Madison had researched this in great detail and wrote about it in the Federalist Papers, number 10. What happened in the Federalist Papers, number 10, is that they talk about, well, I'll just quote it. Quote, democracies have ever been spectacles of turbulence and contention. They've ever been found incompatible with personal security or the rights of property and have in general been as short in their lives as they are violent in their deaths, close quote. In other words, democracies don't work well. Joseph Smith, in his dedication of the Kirtland Temple, said this in his prayer, quote, many of those principles which were so honorably and nobly defended, namely the constitution of our land by our fathers, should be established forever, close quote. Joseph Smith, despite some of the problems, had great reverence for the Constitution. So let's talk about a couple of issues that come up all the time. You hear them all the time on TV, radio, and elsewhere. Systemic racism, slavery, and the United States today. I'm going to quote from great black scholars about this. Thomas Sowell of the Hoover Institution at Stanford University talks about many of these precepts. Thomas Sowell says this, quote, in America, they don't teach in schools any longer many things about slavery, such as, quote, blacks were not enslaved because they were black, but because they were available. Slavery has existed in the world for thousands of years. Whites enslaved other whites in Europe for centuries before the first black was brought to the Western Hemisphere. Asians enslaved Europeans. Asians enslaved other Asians. Africans enslaved other Africans. And indeed, even today in North Africa, blacks continue to enslave blacks, close quote. And he's right. Thomas Sowell is right. Slavery was not about racism. It was and is, in the places in the world where it's still practiced, about power and dominance. Let's take a look at U.S. slavery, slavery in the United States. Of all the slaves that were brought transatlantically from Africa to the New World, about 3% were brought to the U.S. About 94% were taken to Central and South America, most to Brazil. In real numbers, 480,000 African slaves were brought to what is now the United States. Over 7 million went to Central and South America. Today, there are over 41 million blacks in the United States, nearly 100 times more than were brought here as slaves. Most are descended from people who came here voluntarily, willingly, because this is the best country in the world. Most are not descended from those who were involuntarily brought here as slaves. We often hear the idea of systemic racism. If you can come up with a single example, be in touch. My email is martinstanner@gmail.com, martinstanner@gmail.com. If you come up with an example of systemic racism, and I'll connect you with some of the best law firms in the country, and you or whoever is the subject of that will be fairly well off, because racism has all been illegal since the Civil Rights Act of 1964, well over 50 years. These law firms will just do a great job for you and take care of it. I would also suggest a couple of fabulous books on these subjects and a couple of other thoughts. First of all, one of the best books on this is by Shelby Steele, who's part of the Hoover Institution as well. It's called The Content of Our Character. It's an absolutely fabulous book. One parting thought as we're running out of time. By the time the U.S. Constitution was ratified, 9 of the original 13 colonies had already abolished slavery. In 1778, Thomas Jefferson introduced a bill in Virginia to stop further importation of slaves. It was approved. Great Britain stopped slavery And the U.S. made captaining a slave ship a crime punishable by the death penalty. The U.S. and Great Britain did all they could because of the influence of Christianity. Christians who believed slavery was not compatible with Christian principles. On this Independence Day, keep in mind that all are the children of God, and the United States is a wonderful country. God bless America. God bless all of you. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.